It's good to be a child of God. It's good to worship the Lord. And often we come and we just kind of sit down and we say, okay, here we go. I'm doing my thing. Well, we're not doing our thing this morning. We're here to praise the Lord. Put a smile on your face. Realize that you are blessed of God for the privilege of worship. And let's open the Word of God and hear from God this morning. Okay, would you stand as we talk about failure? Failure. I'm trying to put a positive spin on this, but this is kind of a negative message. I'll give you an advanced warning. Today we're going to talk about failure. Next Sunday we're going to talk about recovering from failure, okay? But we got to deal with the failure first. Joshua chapter 7 verse 1 says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against Israel," or against the children of Israel. "Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, 'Go up and spy out the country.' So the men went out and spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, 'Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few.' So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, 'Alas, Lord, alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To deliver us into the hands of the Amorites? To destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the midst of the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?'" Again, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for your word. And we thank you for the privilege of opening your word. And now, Lord, I pray that you will just speak to us through your word. That you will take it and apply it to each individual life as needed. That, Lord, you will be glorified from the decisions that are made today. Lord, there are people here who do not know you as their personal Savior. I pray that today you'll begin to convict them even now of sin. I pray that you'll draw them to yourself, and today will be the day that they call upon you for salvation. Lord, there are those here who are going through difficulty. I pray, Lord, that you'll draw them to yourself, that you'll comfort them with the peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, we all need to hear from you today. So Lord, speak to us through your word. Speak to us through your Holy Spirit. Make your presence known in a mighty way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right. We see Israel today in a state of absolute depression. As I read this, it is almost depressing. That's why I wanted you to smile before we get started. I didn't want you to start out depressed and then go lower. But Israel has just experienced their first defeat. This generation has experienced their first defeat in battle. And as you read, you find the hearts of the people, it said, melted and became like water. Joshua and the elders tore their clothes, put dust on their heads, and fell to the ground before the Lord and cried out, "Lord, why did you even bring us here? Lord, you brought us here to destroy us. Oh, that we had just stayed on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what do we do now?" Lord, the inhabitants, the others in the land are going to hear that we ran before the enemies and they're going to come attack us and wipe us out. And Lord, once we're gone, what are you going to do for your great name? Like God really needs us, right? But you got to give them the fact that they were depressed, downhearted. The reason they were depressed, of course, they failed. I do not like to fail. How about you? I intend to win at every, you know, whatever it is I do. If I'm playing a game, I want to win. If I don't win, now, you know, I try to be a good sport, but I want to win. And spiritually speaking, I want to win. I want to fight the battles along the way, and I want God to be glorified and God to say, well done, soldier of the cross. But there are some facts that we've got to face. Sometimes we fail. There are three things, and the best way, I think, to avoid failure is not to fail, right? You deal with failure, just don't fail. See, there are three things that Israel did that was a surefire recipe for their failure. And we start, number one, with the alarming silence that was present among the children of Israel. As they prepared for battle, there was one vital thing that was left out. There was an absence of direction from Almighty God. You see, as we go back in chapter 6, before they went into battle at Jericho, there were three words that changed the outcome of that battle. You know what those three words were? Verse chapter 6 and verse 2. The Lord said. I want you to think about that just a minute. The Lord said. Those three words made the difference between victory and defeat. Verse 2, God said, I've given you the land. Verse 3, you shall march around the city once a day for 6 days. And it goes on. God kept telling them, then on the seventh day, you'll march around the city of Jericho 7 times. And at the end of the seventh march, the priest will blow the trumpets. And you're going to shout with a loud shout. The walls of Jericho will fall. And you'll go take the city. They heard a lot from God. But in chapter 7, you don't see those three words until verse 10. Now in verse 10, it says, the Lord said to Joshua, get up. We'll deal with that later. But the first 9 verses, you do not hear anything from God. Verse 2, it says, Joshua sent men to Ai, told them to spy out the land. The spies came back and they gave their report. Their report was, hey, we got this. Don't weary the whole people. Oh, they're just a little group of people. Just, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 people. We'll go make short work of this, wipe them out, and move on. So Joshua said, okay, take your 3,000, go take care of them. Everything's good until they get down there for battle. And they ran. They were defeated. I'm convinced that had they heard from God, they would have never went into that battle. That had they taken the time, had they realized this silence is not normal, that God would have revealed Himself to them in such a way that they would not have went into that battle in their current state. But they didn't hear from God and they lost. Here's what I'm concerned with today. I'm concerned with how quickly we become accustomed to the silence. How quickly we get accustomed to not hearing from God. Listen, families today are so busy. And I understand, you know, raising children, you want your children to be involved in sports. You want them to be active in school and do well in school. And we have all this stuff. And then by the time parents mix in work and other obligations, there's not much time left. But here's my question. How is your prayer life? How is your Bible study time? And don't look at me like, oh yeah, okay, here we go again. Pray and read the Bible. Yeah, Brother Duck. No, listen. I'm not talking about praying and reading the Bible. I'm talking about hearing from God. Do you realize that that there's a lot of people who think that they only hear from God Sunday when they come. Listen, if all you're getting is a once a week message from God, you're going to fail. You're in trouble. You have to have a continual source of communication. That source is prayer and study. And I believe the people here today, I know most of you pretty well. And I know that most of you want to be good people. You want to make the right decisions. You want to serve the Lord. You want to do what's right. But you cannot fight the battles when you do not hear from God. And you have to fight the battles every day that you live. Men are tempted. Women are tempted. Satan, seeking whom he may devour, he's going after you every day. His goal is your failure. Don't become accustomed to the silence. Hear from God. And there are two ways. Like I said, it's time in the Word and prayer. Are you ready for a new challenge as we grow this year? Amen. That's good. Y'all are catching on. All right? All right? Here's my new challenge. And I'm going to ask you, when you accept this challenge, before you leave today, you write it on paper, initial it, and stick it to the grow wall. Are you with me? Okay. And you're saying, Brother Doug, it just depends on what the challenge is. I understand. But do you understand what I'm saying? Say amen. Okay. Go back there. Write this on the note. I commit to twice a week sitting down with my family and having family devotion. Oh, Brother Doug, you're meddling now. You don't understand how busy we are. I do understand how busy you are. I've raised kids. I know how it goes. Listen, but what I want you to understand is you can't fight these battles without hearing from God. And we hear from God in prayer and opening the Word of God. And what I'm asking you to do is just take 15 minutes twice a week with your children, with your wife, with your husband, with your family, where you sit down and you open the Bible and you read it together. But Brother Doug, you don't understand. I'm not a teacher. Listen, I'm not asking you to teach a Sunday school lesson. I'm asking you to sit down with your family and simply read the Word of God. Okay? And if that's all you can do, wonderful. That's fine. But I can almost guarantee you by the time you read through a chapter of the Bible, you'll have something to say. Or someone in your family will have something to say. Now what I'm going to ask you to do here, I'm going to ask you to make this commitment for the remainder of this quarter. That's the rest of February, twice a week, and throughout the month of March, twice a week, you sit down with your family and you have Bible time and prayer time. Brother Doug, where do I start? Well, it doesn't matter. You want a short book? You want to start with a short book? James is a wonderful, very straightforward book. I personally, John, I love the book of John. John's a beautiful, loving book. If you wanted, you know, if you hadn't spent much time in the Old Testament, go back to the book of Genesis. Let's go through the book of Genesis. You pick, all right? I'm not going to tell you what to read, but make that devotion time happen. Two things are going to happen. Your kids, your children are going to see that mama and daddy are trying to live it throughout the week. It's not just something they do on Sunday. The other thing, you're going to hear from God, and God's going to become more real to you throughout the week, not just on Sundays. Okay? That's the challenge. Right? Twice a week. And I'm not talking about just for those who have children. I'm talking about families. Yeah, Brother Doug, I've already raised my children. What I do, sit down with your wife. I've got to, and this is where I've got to come clean. Beth and I haven't done real good about this lately. All right? But we're going to take this challenge right along with you. Now, don't get me wrong, I study and I spend time reading at home. But sometimes I haven't included Beth. And so I'm going to make this challenge where Beth and I are going to sit down twice a week in the Word, seeking to hear from God. Will you join Beth and I in this endeavor? If you will you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Write it down, put it on the grow wall. And at the end of March, we're going to stamp it as done. Okay? And hopefully we're not going to quit this in the month of March. You see, the first recipe for failure, the first surefire way of failure is silence, not hearing from God. Then we're going to move along. The second thing that leads to failure is the alluring sin. The alluring sin. I want to start by the command and just kind of go through what happened with the children of Israel here. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 18, before they went into the battle of Jericho, they were given a command. And this command came from God. It looked like this. And you by all means abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed. When you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Here's what you need to grab here. He said, and you by all means. That word, the words I by all means is a very forceful restriction in the Hebrew. And to put it in our language, it's like this. You do whatever you have to do not to do this. You watch yourself. You cannot trust yourself. If you're not very, very careful, you will make a dreadful error. What is the accursed thing? Well, it's quite simple. If you read over in chapter 6, they were to designate or consecrate all the silver, the gold vessels and iron and everything, the spoils of war were to be dedicated or set aside for the Lord and given into the treasury of the Lord. It's a reminder, if you want to live in victory, you remember God comes first, okay? This was their first battle, and that was just a requirement of God. And God said to do anything else is going to bring a curse upon Israel. And so He gave them fair warning. He gave them the command. But you see, there was this one fellow that for some reason he didn't believe God. And he committed the crime. It says, Achan took of the accursed thing. Achan took of the accursed thing. What did he do? Well, he got into Jericho and he found some gold and some silver and a Babylonian garment and he took it for himself. Took it back to his tent and buried it. And kind of give you just some background on how it went. Here's the development of the way that sin went once Achan got into Jericho and he saw it. He said, when I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent. What did he do? Number one, he saw. He saw. Now, the Hebrew, in the language, that word saw, it means to inspect. Okay? It's not that, you know, I see you today. It's to inspect, to take a hard look and study. So what he's saying is, I took a closer, hard look and at these silver, the gold. And let me remind you, the harder you look at sin, the more alluring it becomes. Okay? And let me just give you a heads up. Here's how it goes. Something, that sin may be attractive to you. But if you turn away from it and go a different direction, turn your eyes in a different direction, guess what? It'll go away. Okay? But the longer you look, the more you're drawn in. Do you realize, men, a man can look at a pretty lady and say, my goodness, she's a beautiful lady. Or he can look at a lady. Listen, it's okay to observe a pretty lady. It's not okay to study that pretty lady, because that leads to thoughts in other directions that shouldn't be there. You see? You see what I'm talking about? Ladies, it's the same way with you. I've never seen a pretty guy that I'd want to study, but anyway, I guess it might apply to y'all. But it's that way with every sin. It starts with a look, a closer look. He said, I saw, and then I coveted. The longer you look, the more desire that you're going to have. And if you don't change the scenery, that desire you're continuing to feed, it's going to grow and grow and grow, and you're going to want it more and more and more. Then he said, I took. When I couldn't fight the urge any longer, I studied it long enough, I coveted long enough, I took it, and then I hid it. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, this is just a remake of Adam and Eve in the garden with Satan. Okay? It is a absolute remake of Genesis chapter 3. You see, here's the wild and crazy thing. After he studied it, after he coveted, after he took, he said, I hid it. Here, he couldn't enjoy it because nobody could know he had it. Kind of like the preacher who went golfing on Sunday, made a hole in one. He couldn't tell anybody. You know? The joy was gone. The joy. That's the way sin is. It builds this great, it's this great draw. It says, come on, you need it. Come on, you got to have it. Come on, it'll make you happy. And then after you get drawn in, after you take it, then you got to hide. Oh, I hope nobody finds out. I hope nobody finds out. Then let's go to the confession. God, once the sin had been committed, Israel went to battle at Ai and failed, and Joshua got on his knees and cried out, Lord, what do we do now? And God said, get up. There's sin in the camp. There's sin in the camp. He said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to reveal the sinner. We're going to reveal the sinner. And God gave Joshua the plan. He said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to cause the tribes to pass before you. And I'm going to pick a tribe. And then you're going to cause the families to pass of that tribe to pass before you. And I'm going to pick a family. And then you're going to cause the households of that family to pass before you. And I'm going to pick a household. Then you're going to cause the individuals of that household to pass before you. And I'm going to pick an individual. I'm going to show you who it was that has committed the sin. Listen, I want to tell you something. You may hide your sin, but the one, most important one knows is God. God knows. God knows. And as long as you're caught up in the sin, you're not going to be victorious in fighting the battles of life. All right? As I go over this in my mind, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, Aiken's probably sitting back here thinking, right. Joshua reveals, we're going to find out who brought sin into the camp, and we're going to start by passing the 12 tribes in front of me. He's not worried. Aiken's not worried. As the 12 tribes pass in front of him, they choose his tribe. Eyebrows are okay, but yeah, there's still a lot in this tribe, you know. Not a big deal, the tribe of Judah. I think it was Judah. We're going to have the families pass by. Families of the tribe pass by. Ooh, Joshua chooses my family. All this time down in Achan's heart, he knew he's the guy. He knew he was the guy. But he's still holding on to that sin, trying to cover it up. Achan's family passed by. God chose that family. Now they're starting with households. By now, I'm thinking, Aiken's probably doing this. Oh, somebody knows. Somebody knows. Joshua knows. God knew. They passed, had the household pass by and got down to individuals. God revealed to Joshua who it was. And Joshua looked at Achan and said, "It's time to come clean. What have you done?" I want to tell you something. Coming face to face with your sin, it's a nerve-wracking deal, isn't it? You ever done that? Come face to face with your sin where you're caught? You see, I don't know. I kind of think Achan waited too long. This is speculation on my part, but I kind of wonder if Achan had been forthright and sought the grace and mercy of God and sought His forgiveness. I kind of think God would have taken care of it, but Achan didn't. He held on and he hid his sin. Until Joshua said, "What have you done?" That's when Achan said, verse 21, "I saw the spoils. I coveted. I took them. They're hidden in my tent." Can you imagine the shame, the embarrassment? I'm not here today to point fingers at anyone. Okay? I don't know what's in your life. I don't know what's not. But one thing I do know, as long as you're holding on to sin, as long as you're rebelling against God, you'll not live in victory. See, you got to take care of it. You got to take care of it. The good news is God is a loving, merciful God. And you can't just pretend that sin doesn't happen or it doesn't exist. You can't just wish it away. You got to do business with God about your sin. I know we're living in an age where sin's not a popular subject anymore, and so we try to avoid it. But I want to say, sin is still sin. It's still violation of God's commands. And we should still hate sin in our lives. Okay? You got to deal with the sin. You got to deal with it. I love it that in the Word of God we're told that if we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin. You see, I brought you to this point. You say, "Oh, Brother Doug, it's so depressing." Oh, there's good news. Good news is God loves you anyway. You see, you've been hiding sin and pretending, you know, all this time, and God still loves you. He loves you so much that the thing that's troubling God right now is that the relationship between He and you is not what it should be. You see, He desires. He loved you so much that He gave His life. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, upon the cross of Calvary to pay for your sin. So that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He loves you even after you've called on, you know, after you're saved. That love doesn't stop. Yes, sometimes we fail. Sometimes sin gets in our way, gets in our path, and sometimes we bite. But listen, you can't live with it. You cannot live with it and continue in it. That's the problem with the world today. We think, "Oh, I want to have my sin and be close to God too." It doesn't work that way. We're to repent of our sin. to confess it before a faithful and just God. You see, any other thing is to live in absolute selfishness. That was Achan's problem. You see, because of Achan's sin, a nation was defeated. Notice in verse 1 of the text that we read, it says, "The anger of the Lord burned against Israel." Do you realize that the entire nation of Israel was at odds with God because of this one man's sin? Because of this one man's sin, the entire nation was shamed as they ran before the enemy. Because of this one man's sin, 36 men died. He never stopped to consider the effect his sin would have on his people. That, my friend, is selfishness. You see? Instead of considering what is my sin doing to everybody else, he said, "I saw, I coveted, I took, and I hid." He can't see anybody but himself. Not only was a nation defeated, but a family was destroyed. In verse 24, it says, "All that he had, including sons and daughters, were stoned and burned." And I know that's pretty profound. That's hard. You say, "Brother Doug, that's not fair." I want to tell you what, sin's not fair, first of all. But his family knew what he did. See, they lived in the same tent where he buried the hole, where he dug the hole and buried the goods. They knew what he did. They were part of the conspiracy. But Achan never really thought about his family or what would happen to his family. He just said, "I saw, I coveted, I took, and I hid." And then his life was discarded, wasted because of his sin. In verse 26, after they had been stoned and burned, it says they raised over him a great heap of stones. The future being, people go by that stone. "Oh, I remember that day. That was the guy that caused the failure of a nation. That was the guy that destroyed his family. That was the guy that sinned against the God of Israel." This is where he died. A wasted life. Listen, my friends. To continue in sin, let me get everybody's attention, young and old, right here, and I'm going to close. To continue in your sin is absolute selfishness. You're not considering what you're doing to everybody else. You're not considering what you're doing to your family. You're not even considering that you're wasting your life in a broken relationship with God. Sin is a real problem. It's just as attractive as it ever was. And Satan's just as wise as he ever has been. And he dangles the sin, and I hadn't went into, you know, to a lot of different sins today, but we know. Immorality, sex before marriage, adultery, homosexuality. And we could go on and on. You know, there's a lot out there. And it's reaching out, trying to pull people in every day and destroy who they are and what they are. The good news is, it doesn't have to destroy you. You know the God that gave His only Son, that you could have eternal life. You know the God that gave His Son upon Calvary, that paid the debt of every sinner present here. But you got to deal with the sin. You got to deal with the sin. You can't deny it. You can't hide it. Deal with it. That's what this invitation is today. Oh, listen. We can't be victorious if our relationship with God is not right. What are you going to do about it? If you're here today and you need to be saved, this invitation's for you. I'm going to ask you to come forward in just a moment when we have this song. If you're here today and things are not right with God, maybe you're going through that period of silence and you don't really know what the sin is, and you know, but you really just, you don't know. You know, there are times that we can't see our sin for ourselves, you know. Sometimes we just have to get on our knees and say, God, show me. Because I don't want to live in silence any longer. You may be here and you know what the sin is. You know you're saved. But you know it's time to do business with God. My challenge to you is, do business with God. Okay? Do business with God. And here's what I'm going to, as best I can, guarantee you. If you need to come to this altar and spend time in prayer, talking to God, there's nobody here going to judge you. Okay? There's nobody here going to point a finger. Everybody here is going to say amen. Okay? Don't put it off. Don't pretend it's not there. Don't act like nothing's wrong. Respond to God while there's time. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Lord, we thank You that there is forgiveness in Your name, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank You that if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Lord, as we come to this invitation, I just pray that we'll all have a willing heart to do business with You. That we'll open ourselves up to You, O Lord. For You to open our eyes. For You to communicate with us. To speak to our hearts and convict us of sin. Help us, O Lord, to respond to Your conviction. Lord, we love You. And we want to live in victory. In Jesus' name I pray.